We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Learfield IMG College, this is Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics. Aggies All the Way is presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome on into the Aggies All the Way podcast. Hope everyone's doing well and staying safe during this crazy time. I'm going to try and keep putting these podcasts out as much as possible, partially to trying to distract from what's going on in the world, but also because there's still a ton of stuff going on behind the scenes in Utah State Athletics. So on this episode, I'm chatting with Utah State Volleyball head coach Rob Nielsen. Coach Nielsen was hired back in January, and he's actually had his summer plans thrown a little bit aside because of the cancellation of the Olympics. He was going to be out coaching the U.S. men's national team. So, Coach, I want to get to that and talk a little bit about the Olympics, but first, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, happy to be here, getting some more time with my family that I usually don't expect this time of year when we'd be out recruiting. So trying to make the best of the situation for our team, but enjoying what it affords me in time with the family. So,
hey, that's a great way to look at it. I mean, I go nuts being inside all day, but at the same time, my house is cleaner than it's ever been, and gotten quite a bit done that I typically wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah, our neighborhood where we're at, we're still living in Utah County. We just are finalizing some housing plans up in Cache Valley, so we're excited to get up there, but our neighborhood here in Utah County has never looked better with people taking care of their lawns and trimming shrubs and bushes, you know, stuff that normally is unkempt and neglected. It's all getting taken care of. So,
well, I'm sure it's not an easy time to be going through a move right now either.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes, right? Some uncertainty there, and we'll just take it one step at a time and control what we can control.
Yeah, as I mentioned, you were hired back in January, so you've had a couple of months of regularity, if you will, before all this craziness started. How have you been able to settle into the job?
It's awesome. I'm just an unbelievable place to be. Just everything that we hear. I hadn't spent much time in Cache Valley and Logan, and just everything that we hear from friends, from family, They just have wonderful things to say about life in Logan, living in Logan, a place to be with our family, which is a really important component to me as I was looking at this decision and coming on board. And then you just look at the university and just the things that they do, the success of the basketball programs, the success of the football team, you know, the past success that the volleyball team has been through. And just, I think there's real opportunities for our program to grow. There's wonderful support from the community. And so there were just so many positives as we were making this decision to come and to join the Utah State family. And so we're excited for the future and for what it holds. And we understand the challenges at hand. And, you know, that was part of the first few months of diving into video and understanding where we need to get to. And so we're just excited to, you know, to start that journey.
So you're a pretty young coach and you've got an impressive resume. So for those of you who might not know anything about you, can you just walk through your past coaching stops and kind of take us through where you've been in volleyball?
Yeah, so I was a men's volleyball player. I played at and grew up in California, played at BYU. We won a national championship in my time down south. And then immediately after, I was planning on going to medical school. I was a neuroscience major, took the MCAT, did well enough on it. And just in my time in between applying for medical schools, I got a job coaching on our staff at BYU, so with the men's team down there. And, you know, just coaching spoke to me. I loved all the different aspects of it. It spoke to my neuroscience background in terms of motor learning and how you develop habits and behavioral learning and kind of all of these brain-body connections. And then obviously the sports aspect. I love the competitive side of things and learning and growing and teamwork and organizational behavior, all of these different things. And so I joined the staff at BYU and, you know, threw plans to become a doctor to the side and maybe at the chagrin of my wife, but it was turned out to be a great choice for me. And I just I worked at BYU. I was on the men's mm-hmm. staff for 10 years down there. We had a ton of success, learned from a ton of great coaches. My mentors came from that program. And so it was just this wonderful learning experience. In 2015, I left BYU and joined a startup company that a tech company in the volleyball space. We essentially recorded and analyzed volleyball matches for teams. And so when I came on board, they had worked with about 30 different NCAA teams on the women's side, a few less on the men's side. And we grew that into this powerful analytics tool that's used by essentially every NCAA team. And so I was there for 2.5 years, I think. The company's called Volumetrics. Eventually they sold to Huddle, which is a juggernaut in the sports analytics and video space. But about that the time that was going on, I was feeling the urge, the itch to get back into the gym. And so was looking for different opportunities, had some interviews at some different places, looking at getting into the women's side where there's just a lot more opportunities. And ended up getting a call from John Sprah, who is the head coach of the men's national team. And still is. John invited me to come out and there was kind of a part-time position opening. So I was going to come out and fill a role for a summer, went out and worked with him for the summer. And then, we decided that, there was another opening kind of that as things moved along, there was a full-time opening. So I joined his staff full-time and was there for the last couple of years. And so working with the men's national team, you know, we traveled to tournaments all over the world, obviously trying to qualify. We did qualify in 2019 for what was going to be the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Obviously, those have been put on hold, postponed with everything that's going on.
Right.
Just this wonderful learning experience being with the men's national team, trying to compete at the highest levels of the sport, and to be the best in the world at something, you learn a lot about yourself, about your strengths and your weaknesses. You learn a lot about competing and taking care of the margins. You know, the small little things are what make the difference in those matches. And so I learned a ton about myself as a coach and about the game. And it was just this wonderful experience working with John and seeing his leadership and just the way that he goes about pretty much everything that he does. It was a great example and mentor to me. So
I've got to ask, you've really spent your whole coaching career in men's volleyball. And so now you're going to go from coaching some of the top men's volleyball players in the world to Mountain West women's volleyball. I know that at the end of the day, it's all the same sport with the same objective, but I have to imagine it's a pretty dramatic change in just the way that the game is played and in turn the way that it's coached.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe not as many as you'd think. I think that people think there are these massive differences, and at the end of the day, people are people, you know? And so, you know, the development issues or barriers that you'd face with a collegiate level athlete, it doesn't change that much. The international level athletes, obviously they've had greater levels of success, but sometimes that ingrains some of those barriers even more deeply, you know, as you're trying to fight through the ego of the sport or them trying to move along. And so, you know, looking at that decision to come back into the college ranks, it was really intentional. I think that, for me, as I look at what I really enjoy about coaching, it's the development of relationships and it's helping people move forward, you know? And so the fact that it's in a sport and it's in volleyball, I love that aspect of it too. And I love, you know, love the sport. I love competing. But just seeing people move forward and improve and start to, you know, start to understand principles that will change their lives. And so for me, I think that I was ready to come back to the college ranks because mm-hmm. you start developing relationships with these kids, recruiting them at 16, developing relationships with their families. And now you have 4 or 5 years with them during their college experience where, I mean, I think you can really make a difference. And the coaches that I had experience with and worked with as a player really made a difference and an impact in my life. And so I'm excited about that aspect of things. You know, how do you teach people best principles and how do you teach them great habits and how do you help them to develop and how do they start to appreciate, you know, all these little choices that add up and aggregate into greatness in life. And so, you know, there's some of that at the international level, but a lot of it's just about, hey, managing. We're, you know, we only have 20 days of training in the summer and we're trying to be great in 3 huge tournaments. And so you're dealing with a lot more of the strategic aspect of things where at the college level, you get to develop and understand the growth aspect of things a little bit more in depth where there is, you know, quite a bit more room for these kids to grow just because it's such a formative time of life. So coming back to the college game, you know, certainly the level's different. A lot of the principles are the same, teaching the game, understanding the game. Certainly a lot of the ways that the women's game is evolving is headed towards some of the strategy of the men's game in terms of the way we want to run offense, where we want to put people, spacing on the court. You know, some of those technicalities are the evolution of the women's game is headed to where the men's game's already at. So the hope is that that prepares us even more with what we're doing at Utah State to have a great program and sort of a resurgence back to the glory days of Utah State volleyball.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I know that you were able to get some time in with the girls on the team before sports were essentially shut down. And there's definitely some talented players. And it was a young team last year that went through some injuries and other issues, but it's hard to dance around the fact that they only won 2 games last year. So what have you seen from this team and what are the steps that you've already taken to get things turned around?
I think it's an unbelievable group of kids just in terms of their character, work ethic. I think that's one of the things that, you know, hats off to the previous coaching staff. I'm good friends with Grayson and his family, and
love
and
Coach
his daughter's still on our team, right? Cassandra's right. with us, and maybe is the hardest worker in our gym. Everybody loves Cassandra. She just would run through a wall and do it with a smile. And so there's just, it's just a wonderful group of people. And so I think, you know, maybe they just needed a fresh start. And like you said, there were some injuries and some young talent, and we definitely have some young talent in the gym. We're trying to get some people healthy at this time. And so, you have a confluence of different things and different ways of looking at the game and different systems that we put in, you know, we're hoping to look at it with fresh eyes and come at it with a different perspective in how we're going to compete, what we're going to ask of them in practice, the way that we're going to give them feedback, and the way that we're expecting them to develop. And if we take that one day at a time, we hope that, you know, we expect that that's going to add up to this kind of additive aggregate confluence of things that are going to help us succeed.
Well, obviously the coronavirus has thrown a bit of a wrench into everybody's plans, but I have to imagine that it's dramatically changed things for you in terms of recruiting and getting this team where you want it to be. So what's your day-to-day been like without being able to do the things that you normally would?
Yeah, it's interesting. You look at this situation and, you know, there's, you know, all sorts of things that we can't do. But I've been really impressed with our staff and their ability to kind of think outside the box of things that we can do. You know, what is it that we're going to do that's going to help us to get ahead? And obviously our main concern is helping our athletes to stay safe and making sure that they're taking care of their academics and things at home. But then what are the things within our control that we can get done? And so, yeah, we're, you know, virtual tours of campus, and we're on lots of phone calls, and we're talking to lots of different club directors, and, you know, some of the decisions that we had hoped to make in terms of formulating our team for this year and next year, you know, we had planned on making, and with evaluations made in March and April, those things can't happen now. Okay. Right. So here's our reality. What do we do with it and move forward? And so I don't, you know, the mindset's the same. Obviously the circumstances change a little bit. There are things that we can't control, but I think if we, you know, are focused on what we can do, hopefully that'll help us get to a spot where we're in good shape coming out of this whenever we go back to some semblance of normal.
Right. Now, you had plans this summer. You were going to be taking a trip to Tokyo to coach the men's national team in the Olympics. I can't imagine how much of a bummer that was for you, and not just for you, but for everyone involved that's trained for 4 years and worked so hard to find out that it's not going to be happening this summer. What was that like for you to find out?
Yeah, you know, and that was, you know, just as we had talked about plans, we had gone back and forth. You know, there's so much that we were trying to accomplish for Utah State. And so there was some vacillation on whether or not I was going to go to the Olympics. Obviously that choice was taken out of my hands. But you know, for all of those athletes that are preparing, training, it's just, you know, okay, the situation comes up and what do? You know, you can't train in the right way. You can't peak at the right way. It's this long process. You know, it starts well before July and August. You know, going back to how people are preparing all year long to get to the point where they can perform at an elite level. And so it's, I think, a bummer, obviously a bummer for those athletes. It's interesting that it was just postponed. You know, it wasn't canceled. Sure. Like you see a lot of events, you know, the NCAA basketball championship, you know, basketball coach just had a magical run through the conference tournament. They secure a spot in the NCAA championship, and now, you know, that's slipped through their fingers. And so I think, you know, international athletes, you know, athletes that are competing at the highest level, that's one of the lessons that they've learned, to just, okay, control the controllables. And so while it is a bummer for them, while it's a bummer for me, you know, it's not going to happen this summer. Who knows what it looks like for me. I think that the fact that it is still going to happen, Now you're just changing a timeline and trying to refocus and then trying to take care of, you know, the externalities that, that are around you, you know, making sure that, you're doing what's best for communities, et cetera.
So what was your experience like working with the men's national team? I mean, I imagine it's got to be pretty humbling to work every day with some of the world's top athletes in that sport. How would you sum up your experience working with them?
It's unbelievable. It's a challenge in every way, right? You gotta know what you're talking about. You're trying to take care of these just minor aspects of the game. And again, that's what makes the difference, you know, minute movements on the court and being more efficient is the difference in scoring one more point out of 100 possible points. You know, and that's the difference at winning and losing on this level. And so there's, you know, the margins are a little bit bigger as you get into the college game, as you get into the women's game, the women's college game, et cetera. The margins are so fine at the international level. And so these guys are so good at just taking care of the little things and getting into routines and managing bodies and managing mindset and, you know, managing nutrition. There's just so many things that we're talking about and trying to seek out best practices in all those different areas. And so I think you learn an incredible amount. And then just the grind, you know, people don't appreciate. We play in an early summer tournament called the Volleyball Nations League. And it's this tournament that it's 5 weeks long. You play three matches a weekend. So you play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you travel to a whole another country to play the following Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so obviously playing three matches in a row, you know, in and of itself at this level is incredibly taxing. You know, guys, the way that they jump, the way that they land, the way that they fly around the court, you know, it's just an incredibly taxing thing. So to play three matches in a row in China and then on Monday to leave and fly to Brazil, we would travel 44 hours to get door to door from a hotel in China to Brazil. And you'd have 3 days to turn around with a 12-hour time difference in jet lag to play at the highest level again on Friday, Saturday, Sunday for fans in Brazil. It's just an incredible grind. And so the detail-oriented nature of things that had to happen to be able to take care of that and to be able to be successful doing that, it's a grind for coaches. It's a grind for players. But then here's the adversity. Now, how do we figure out how to be at our best? It's an incredible learning experience, and it was just amazingly valuable for me and my time that I was with the national team.
Now, with a national team, you're not worrying about recruiting players or player academics or anything like that. So as a college head coach, you're not just the coach, but you're the GM, you're the president of the team. I know that you've been around college athletics in the past, but kind of getting back into that world, do you feel like you've been able to get your feet under you in that regard?
Yeah, the women's game is a totally different, it's a different animal, absolutely, because there's, you know, in the men's college game where I was recruiting, you had, you know, 30 teams that are competing at the D1 level, and you maybe have, you know, 5 to 10 really elite programs that are competing for the same type of recruits. At the college level, obviously there's 300, the women's, on the women's side, there's 330 different Division I teams. And there's a whole array of, you know, elite down to, you know, the teams that are struggling. And so trying to find your place in that, absolutely, it's been a learning experience. In the end, for us, it's all about relationships, right? For me, I think I had a little bit of a head start maybe than other would in my situation. Sure. I'd worked with that tech company. We had worked with a lot of girls clubs. We had worked with a lot of collegiate women's programs. And so having those interactions and building those relationships, I think, you know, helped me out a ton as I called on a lot of those relationships to kind of find my way. And now as we're on the phone with all these club directors, again, calling on those relationships to try and get great information and sort of establish our rankings and priorities for future recruits has been incredibly invaluable. But you're right, it's a learning experience and it's a different animal. But again, it's okay, here's a challenge we get to face. How do we figure out how to be great? And so there's a lot that we have left to learn, and we're excited to learn and to continue to uncover best practices and to get better.
So I know that you've already made some coaching hires. Do you have your full staff together now?
We have our full staff going, yeah.
Okay, so tell me just a little bit about those coaches that you've brought in and what they add to the team.
Yeah, so Tyson Norton is a player that I played against back in the day. He was at UC Santa Barbara, and Tyson went on. He's coached at pretty much every level of the game. He's been at, you know, the high school levels, the college levels, community college, university, men's, women's side. He's been all over the place. And so Tyson is a grinder. He's a total gym rat. He loves the game of volleyball, and he just flat out knows how to teach. And so it's just been awesome having him in and to get his perspective on a lot of different things. He spent a number of years at the University of Nevada, Reno. And so, has, you know, understanding of our conference, has a lot of perspective, obviously, that I lacked, you know, coming from a different level, a different side of the game. And so it's been great to be able to lean on him. Chloe Hurst is, the other assistant that's, joined the staff. She was a director of ops, with two different programs that I greatly admire. So, she was with Beth Lanier at Utah and with Jeremiah Larson at Weber State. I played with Maya back in my college days, and so we're good friends and excited to compete against each other. But Chloe just has been on staffs that really pushed her, really taught her about the game, and then she just has an unbelievable work ethic. And so she's our recruiting coordinator and has just done a fantastic job in reaching out to people and just, you know, turning over any stone that can be turned over, trying to follow any lead that she can find. And, you know, has just, again, working as hard as she possibly can. And so it's been a great benefit to have her on staff and to learn from her as well. Our volunteer assistant has been Mike Wilton, and
Coach
Wilton is
fantastic.
Coach Wilton was he was with Coach DeBose in the fall for a little bit this past year. Mike was on staff with me during four of my years at BYU, so we shared an office. So we have a lot of good times together and a lot of great memories. And Mike was 17 years the head coach at the University of Hawaii for the men. Before that, he had been at Cal Poly as the head coach for their women's program. You know, he's, again, taught at every level of the game, seen it all, just unbelievable amounts of perspective, understanding and wisdom that comes with being around the game. And seeing the things that he's seen, you know, so he's got a quote for everything. He keeps things incredibly light. He's just an incredibly warm personality. And then maybe the most disciplined person that I've ever known. Mike wakes up at 4 a.m. and runs in the mountains with his dog. He eats a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and an apple and an orange every day for lunch for the last 25 years. And he's just incredibly disciplined, works out religiously. So he's in, you know, the best shape of anyone I know that's his age. He's just a monster. And so having him on staff for perspective and an example for us in terms of his work ethic and his willingness to just grind and get it done has been amazing. And then our director of ops is Madeline Dolny. So the Dolny name is a known one at Utah State. Her dad ran the biomechanics lab, I think, for a long time at Utah State. Just a lot of history with her family in Cache Valley. She left and worked at the University of South Dakota for a few years as their director of ops. And they had an incredibly successful program. And so just, learning some best practices from her and having her run things and just her diligence and work ethic has been fantastic for us. And so she's come in and helped us, you know, just as any good director of ops would, taking so many things off our plate so that we can focus on coaching and recruiting and relationships. It's been unbelievably valuable for us.
Well, Coach, I've always said that, I know that when people talk about Utah State sports, they always go straight to Aggie basketball and how great the spectrum is when it's rocking. But when there's a good match going on at the Estes Center and the crowd really gets into it, that's one of the most enjoyable and exciting Aggie sporting experiences you can have. So I'm looking forward to getting back to that this fall. Coach, welcome to Logan. I'm excited to see what you can do with this program. Is there anything else that you want to add for the Aggie fans listening?
No, we're excited to get to know you. We're excited to play great volleyball and just to show you a little bit more about our sport and how exciting it can be. I mean, just the energy and the anticipation that comes from a long rally and just the way that kids work and get after it and the athleticism of our players. There's just a lot to showcase, and so we're excited to put them in their best light and then to watch the magic happen. You know, in the end, it's the players that are the magic. And so we're excited to see where our team can get to and how they'll develop. And we're excited to share that. That's one of the things that almost every one of our players mentioned when we brought them into initial meetings was how amazing the fan support was, the community support, how much love and support they got from Aggie faithful. And so we're excited to be a part of that, and we're excited to add to it.
All right. Well, thanks for the time, Coach. Appreciate you coming on. Let's do this again. All right.
All right, Jaden. Appreciate your time.
This has been Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics, presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.